the model sent you.
Grab your coat and get your hat. Leave your worry on the doorstep.
I need a heavy coat today.
Just direct your feet.
Beautiful day in Kirkwood,
Missouri. To the sunny side of the street. Can't you hear?
Who saw the moon last night?
I saw the moon.
That happy tune.
And it was that.
It's just like another full moon to me. I don't get it.
Can be so sweet.
It was bright, but I've seen a lot of bright moons.
It was bigger. It was closer to the earth.
Yeah, it was bigger by how much? You know, like what, 4%?
I don't know.
Just never been able to really see the big deal.
Not afraid.
Oh, well.
This rover.
Capitalism, God's way of determining who is smart and who is poor.
Crossed over, if I never have a cent.
I don't know that I agree with
I'll
that.
I'll be rich as Rockefeller. Gold dust at my feet, on the sunny side
of the street.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the March 21st edition of the Large Morning Show in the Afternoon. I'd like to start off with a comment on Tim Woodburn's. It was either the newscast or the sportscast. He does the news, then he does the sports. And I forgot where it was, Tim, that you stumbled, and then you said, let me start this over. Yeah. I have to tell you something. I love that. And here's the problem with most people, especially radio people. They just don't know how to just talk. You just how to be themselves. If you were in a conversation with somebody and you said, well, you know, the Blues, it looks like the... let me start over. It looks like the Blues are headed... That's the way you would just say it. But too many people, I think, get on the radio, and if they hit a little stumbling block, they have no idea what to do. They freeze, or there's silence, or they just talk.
But do you remember what we were taught a long, long time ago, and not necessarily that's how it is now, but taught a long, long time ago, don't highlight your mistakes.
Exactly. Just keep rolling
past
it.
Yeah, just keep going.
Well, that's stupid.
I know, because everyone else hears it.
They heard the mistake.
Yeah, yeah.
So why don't you just acknowledge it and go, well, I messed that up. Let me try that again. People like that. They actually like it. It makes you human. So well done, Tim Woodburn.
Well, thanks. It was a goofy thing that these NCAA basketball games, the teams are ranked during the season. So the proper phraseology is to say 13th ranked Maryland, 18th ranked Illinois. But now they're seeded. And I was screwing up, and I was calling them ranked instead of seated, and it just didn't make any sense. And I got about 10 seconds into it and said, this is awful. just wipe that out and just start the whole thing over, because it was completely wrong.
And you could have asked for Limey to edit it out, but you didn't, see.
No.
You let everybody hear
it. You kept it in there.
Sometimes we edit things out, and that way, you know, nobody hears it. Now, this is going to be like a weird thing to say, I guess, but I don't worry a lot about what other people think about me as a person, because very few people actually know me. They really know me, very few. But I drive myself crazy with what I think about myself. And here's one of the things that bothers me. There can't be too many men who know as little about sports as I do. And sometimes I wonder, how did I get so stupid about sports? And I don't know the answer to that, except unless it's the fact that I wasn't taken to a lot of games as a kid, although my dad loved baseball. He'd listen to baseball on the radio, even down in Tennessee. I wasn't taken to a lot of sports, and I never played a sport. And I think that has a lot to do with how interested you are in sports. If you ever played a sport, I tried. I mean, I tried, meaning... I tried out for Little League. No, sorry.
You tried to play baseball, so, and then what other sports besides baseball?
Well, I really only tried to play baseball, and I just wasn't any good. I mean, and if you're not any good, you're not going to make the team. I mean, even if I remember correctly, help me out here, but even in Little League, you have to make the team. Not everybody gets on the Little League team.
No, everybody.
You pay the fee.
I'm not talking about now. Now everybody has to get on the team and everybody has to get a trophy. No, I'm not kidding. I tried out. I remember I tried out for the team. Now, you're telling me if my parents had had money, they could have paid to get me on the Little League team?
You had to pay to play Little League ball. Yeah. I've never heard of a Little League team that didn't charge some kind of fee for you to play. And if you play, if you paid, you got in the game. We had I think there was a two-inning minimum rule, even for the worst guys when I was growing up as a kid.
Then I have the answer that I couldn't remember. Because I guarantee you, if it meant you have to pay to play, I was not going to be playing because my parents, mainly dad, had zero money for anything. I wanted a cornet. It's like a small trumpet because I really wanted to learn music and be in the band. Sorry, because the best deal we could find was at $50 on a beautiful used cornet. That's what he made a week. Not going to happen. Not going to have a tuba, a guitar. We had a piano, but all my mother played was church music. That's all she played. Dangling Jesus loves me, there's, you know, on the old rugged cross. It was just all, I didn't want to just sit and take lessons. First of all, you don't take lessons from your own mother. And she wasn't a certified piano instructor. She could play, but she played church music. It's almost like we had a piano that was specially built to only play church music. If you tried to play anything else on it, it would disintegrate or something.
No, it's too bad you didn't learn how to play a little bit, and then you sat down and started playing some Emerson, Lincoln, Palmer.
Well, she would have sent me for counseling because I'd be headed for hell if I did that. So I guess the reason I don't know anything about music, I love music. I listen to music. This might be interesting to anybody. Maybe you guys do this too. Maybe you don't. Almost every single morning, it's rare that I don't. When I get up, while I'm shaving, brushing my teeth, getting dressed, I play music, and I play it loud, and it's generally pretty upbeat music because I can't stand getting up in the morning. I'm not a morning person, so I'll put on, and I'm having to make a call on the Michael Jackson stuff, but I do, you know, Billie Jean and a couple other. I'll play some really upbeat country music. I'll do some Michael Bublé. I got a little Harry Connick in there, but it kind of makes me feel better. But I don't know music. I can't play anything. I'm not a singer. That bugs me too. So if I could come back and redo anything. Interestingly, it wouldn't be about looks. I wouldn't want to come back as like a really good-looking guy because I don't really think in the long run that's that important. I think I'd like to come back and have some sports knowledge and know some music, maybe read a little music and play one instrument.
Why don't you pick yourself up a cheap keyboard and kind of learn the piano?
You could.
Well, yeah. I don't want to do that now because...
you could play with your grandson.
I don't believe when you're older, your fingers can't do what they can do. When you're younger. When you're young and you learn to play the piano, man, your fingers can fly. And they do things because they...
Oh, you can always learn to
play.
Yeah,
you can just pick something that's, like, slower.
Yeah.
Well, here's what I thought about doing. I thought about going online and ordering left-handed ukulele instructions. Because I'm left-handed. Now, ukulele, if you get three chords, you can kind of, you know, little grass shack, Hawaii. You can kind of play some basic songs with just... How many chords are there anyway, Dan? How many
chords
they say,
are there?
They say most simple songs are three chords.
Oh, yeah. So you're talking about in a song. I was going to say, if you're asking about how many chords there are in music, it's like
okay,
crazy.
But to play most songs, I've heard if you have three chords.
Three, maybe four chords.
And what are those? Give me four chords. What are they called?
Like you could go A... You could go D, and you could go E. That would be
so. Those aren't just notes; they're also chords.
Yes. Yeah.
So there's such a thing as a D chord.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah. See, D chord.
And Limey, you know that, so you must know some music.
Yeah, I know how to play the guitar. I used to be able to play the saxophone many, 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 many years ago, but I haven't picked it up in years. And
do you have a guitar?
I do. I have two guitars.
Yeah. Okay, would you bring one in one day? Is it acoustic or electric?
Yeah, I've got an acoustic and an electric.
Would you bring your acoustic guitar in and play it one day?
I'm not very good at playing in front of people. I kind of panic, but if you want me to bring it in...
You're not in front of people. You're in the studio
in front of
three people.
You know what I mean? But yeah, I could bring one in and have Dan play it, sure.
Well, Dan doesn't play. Dan, do you play acoustic guitar?
I can play a little guitar, yeah.
Yeah.
Tim, do you play anything?
I'm a singer.
Now you see.
Wait, hold on a second.
Here's
something we didn't know. We may have to get a little karaoke track and have you prove that you're a singer. I think I could sing a few particular songs in the right range.
Oh, you could.
I think I could fake my way through a couple.
What kind of genre would you want to go for, though?
Me?
Yeah. Like, if you're going to sing? Yeah, to sing.
If I were going to sing, I'd have to do country and standards like Michael Blue Blaze stuff. That's what I'd have to do.
Okay.
I'm not going to sing any hard rock and roll stuff. Although, I think you can fake your way through rock and roll easier than you can fake your way through some Tony Bennett, Frank Sinatra stuff. Good luck with that. I mean, that requires holding notes and having a really clean, clear sound. Where rock, a lot of those singers, they're not great singers. They're great rockers.
I could bring my bass in with an amp, and we could have Sam, one of our guitar players, come in, and we could play some country.
No, this is about us. No, we're not bringing
that
in.
And then go.
This is about us. We don't want Sam in here. Sorry, Sam.
Well, I
want
to play...
this is about us.
We could play... like some Josh Turner. Baby, lock the doors and turn the lights down low.
Yeah.
I know you can do something like that.
Or, yes, I admit, I got a thinking problem. David Ball.
Yeah.
No, I just, and Tim, when you say you can sing, is it that you think you can sing, or have you been told, not by relatives or good friends, but objectively,
David Geffen told him he could sing.
No, I can sing both. I know I can sing, and people told me I can sing.
Okay, so you know you have a good singing voice.
Mm-hmm.
And you carry a tune, and you're on key.
But it doesn't. The couple times you've asked me to sing on this show, I've held back because I sing loud, and Limey doesn't have any idea what's about to hit the board.
All you got to do is just back away from the mic. Is there a particular song, Tim? Like. If we had a karaoke chair, I'm not going to put you on the spot today to do this, but if we did it, is there a song, and you know that you've, in the car, at home, or whatever, you've sung it before, is there a song you're really comfortable
with? I just did it at my stepfather's 70th birthday party, where we rented cabins down in southeast Illinois. We had a karaoke family event for about 3 hours, and my go-to song is Play That Funky Music, White Boy.
Oh!
I can imitate it, and I can nail it.
Yeah.
Okay, well, maybe we'll...
Paradise by the Dashboard Light by Meatloaf as well, if I've got a female acquaintance.
Oh, boy.
Could you sing what I would call an old standard, and as a crooner, could you sing like that?
I sung the national anthem in front of 13,000 people one night on a $100 bet.
Whoa! $100
bet?
Good?
Wow. But were you good?
They told me I was good.
Wow.
Okay. All right. This I did not know. We learned something, I guess.
I'll show you on the boat. I'll show you on the boat in Europe.
Yeah, they'll probably have karaoke, won't they?
Hopefully I don't know. This is a real first class ship. I don't know if they'll have karaoke.
No.
They might. I don't know. We'll find out. And if they do, guess who's going to be singing on the ship?
You know what? In Germany, we'll have to go to a bar that has karaoke, and we'll just all go.
Danke schön, darling, danke schön. No, we won't all do that. You'll probably do it, but we're not going to do that. We're not doing it. Scott Sherman's in today, folks. I'm just telling you, I'm giving you an early warning. This is weird, because what happens is, you know, a couple of weeks ago, we were stacked up with calls before we finished introducing him. And then there'll be a Thursday or every once in a while where nobody's calling. I go, well, if you don't call, we'll just shut it down. And then, they're all lit up, and they're jammed up to the end. Please, because I don't want people getting, I couldn't get in. I get emails about this. I tried to get in and talk to Scott. I need some legal advice. I couldn't get in. Well, you couldn't get in because you didn't call early enough, probably. So I'm going to give you the numbers now, and then again before the segment next hour. 314. Oh, but you can use these now, too, by the way. If you want to just call us and just BS about anything, we don't care. We don't really ever have a plan here. 314-821-0590 or 855-282-8255. Does anybody have anything to say?
I have an update on my Walmart incident.
Oh, where you almost got arrested but didn't?
Correct.
We'd love to hear it. Now, the problem here is anybody who didn't hear yesterday, they need a real quick recap. Can I help you with that?
Go ahead.
Tim took something back to return it. It was a pair of women's boots. He says he doesn't wear women's boots.
Right.
Yeah. They were somebody else's. And then he was mad because they wouldn't take them back because he didn't have the receipt and they didn't have a tag on them or some kind of thing. But he watched other people return stuff that was muddy and used, and they took it no problem. And he kind of got into a little bit of, hey, how come you're not taking my thing back? And you are. Okay, now the update.
I had a receipt. I didn't have the tags. I got into a continuously, voluminously escalating argument with the...
That's the part I don't understand. I didn't know you had a receipt. I didn't hear that part. Yeah. You had a receipt. Yeah. I really can't understand why they didn't take them back.
Because their company line is you have to have a tag. They can't put it back into merchandise if there's no tag on it. It was an online order that somebody ordered and then took it back to that store, and Walmart's required to take it back if somebody orders something that's only available at Walmart.com.
Can I ask why you were taking women's boots back? Why didn't the woman take them back if they weren't yours?
Do I have to answer that question?
Yep.
No. Nope, you don't ever have to answer anything. Now, though, you know what's going to happen. We're all going to come up with our own reasons why you had women's boots.
I bought them for a female friend of mine when we were hanging out, and we had a falling out, and she left them at my house.
Yeah.
That's truth. That's God's honest truth.
Did she ever wear them?
At least I didn't get her pregnant.
I'm fine
with that. Yeah,
He was trying to return
did she
those?
Ever wear them, or were you gifting them to her, and she goes, forget it, I'm not taking those because you had a fight?
She left them at my house. I bought them for her when we were shopping. She spent the night at my house a couple times, and she left them at my house, and we had a falling out after that, and so I didn't feel like driving and giving them back to her, so I took them back. They were $62.
Ever think that maybe the reason she left and you had the falling out was because you gave her boots?
She asked for them. It's a long story, Frank.
Okay. Now back to part two of the Walmart.
They also wouldn't take back the panties and the bra that he tried to return, too.
Dan, he's trying to get part two.
Okay, you're next, buddy. I got Limey. You're next. Two can play that game, kid. So... they refused to return them, and I got into an incident with the effeminately speaking store manager, who at one point was asked by another coworker, did the police need to be called? So there was concern on my part that an arrest was imminent because I was holding my ground, and he was sort of mocking me and was a little bit condescending to me. So I called 1-800-WALMART the next day because my brother-in-law is a pharmacist at Walmart, and that's what he told me to do. I was remarkably surprised by how quick they offered me customer service on the matter. They took an incident report. They said... and I quote, a salaried member of management of that store will call you within the next 48 hours. I said, ooh, great. Hey, talk to somebody up the flagpole. Great.
Gosh, how much these boots were?
$62.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I spent $238 on the receipt, and it wasn't like I was just, in there running a scam. And And there wasn't a thing wrong with them. They had never been worn. There wasn't a thing wrong with them, but I didn't have the tag, the barcode tag.
Okay.
Last night... I'm laying in bed at 9:30. Got the CPAP machine on. I'm one step away from La La Land, and my phone rings, and I answered it, and it's Ursula, the manager at the Eureka Walmart. She couldn't have been nicer and sweeter to me when I explained to her what happened. She was appalled at my description of the behavior, the way I was treated, and she said, "Bring those boots in, and I will refund your money for you." And I said, "When are you working?" And she said, "Well, I'm working right now. I'm working the night shift." And she kind of said it flirty.
Working the night
as
shift.
As it turned out, I had to get up in the wee hours of the morning to do some PI work around 2 a.m. And so I went and found her and saw her at 2 a.m. And she gave me my money back. And she was really nice and sweet, but boy, she was a little on the weird side. She had like this. Remember Eddie Murphy? We used to play Gumby on Saturday Night Live.
Yes.
She had this Gumby figurine in her hand, and she was a little older than me. And as she's returning my boots, right? This is the salaried member of management. As she's returning my boots, she's like, "So do you like my boy?" Like, she's waiting for the computer to do its work. She goes, "Do you like my new boyfriend?" And I'm like, "What?"
Was it Gumby?
And it was this Gumby figurine in her hand. I said, "Well, he looks a little small for you." She goes, "Well, sizes and everything when you get to be my age." And I'm like, "Holy cow.
This gal."
I mean, it was a strange and awkward moment at a Walmart at 2 a.m. And don't we all have those?
Not the size of the ship, but the motion of the ocean.
Well, I'm going to offer a bit of advice. If this kind of thing ever happens again, it's my sister, we need to call the police. You say, yes, please.
Yeah.
Please call the police.
Wow.
And by the way, don't just call the police. Call Chief Michael Wiegand. He's the chief of the Eureka Police. He's a huge fan of this show and a nice guy. That's what you go. Yeah, get Mike Wiegand in here, the chief of police. I'd love to have him.
The problem with that is that they hadn't asked me to leave the store yet, but if they ask me to leave the store, based on my experience of the law, we can talk to Scott about this next hour, if they ask me to leave the store and I don't, and the police are called, I can be arrested for trespassing. Even, you know, if I say, fine, call the police, but the fact that I didn't leave the store and wait for police to arrive while standing outside the store, if I would have remained in the store until they asked me to leave, that's technically trespassing. That's the baseline law of trespassing. If there's a sign posted or if you're asked to leave anywhere.
Okay, but don't they have to have a reason to ask you to leave? A legitimate reason? Can they ask anybody to leave? And if they go, I'm not leaving, I'm in the checkout line, and they don't leave, can they be charged with trespassing?
Again, another great question for Scott, but as I understand the law, any restaurateur, any business owner can refuse service on a customer for any reason and ask them to leave. Remember this? Remember these guys that refused to make the same-sex wedding cake? It became a Supreme Court case last year.
Right.
That was the whole reason the guy got off on that, was because that's what the law was. He was allowed to refuse service to anybody.
Okay, based but he had a reason. His reason was, it went against his religion. What would their reason have
that I was been? Loud, I guess. I didn't cuss.
You're kind of loud.
Holding up the line. I don't know. I don't know.
Disruptive and argumentative or something.
Disturbing the peace. I mean, that's like the story you told. We were talking about where you were talking about the guy that had the confrontation with the cop on YouTube, and he's like, "Well, I don't have to show you my ID. Right. I don't have to do this. Right. And I don't have to do that." Right. You know, they could have given him. They could have easily arrested him to check to see if that gun was loaded. They could have given him a disturbing the peace citation, seized his evidence while they arrested him, and then let him go without charging him with anything. I mean, they could have been jerks if they wanted to.
They'd have been sued if they did that because he was not doing anything illegal.
You know,
he was not breaking the law. He would have sued him.
I'm just saying, cops have a lot of flexibility and leeway, especially with low-end misdemeanor stuff. I got a ticket on the way to the show today, 47 and a 30.
Not your week.
No, it wasn't. I turned left off 40 west to McKnight South, made the left on McKnight. I'm going through Rock Hill, and I am right in the line of traffic, and everybody's doing 47 miles an hour. But guess what I was? The last one that was doing the 47 to 30. And he pulled me over, and I mean, I tried to do every trick I know to get out of it. I had my hands on the wheel, had my insurance, and
cleavage.
License. I showed a little cleavage.
Yeah.
Not nip, but, you know, just upper.
Did you cry?
Upper. Yeah. Just upper.
Did you cry?
Upper bowl. I didn't cry. I saved that as a last resort. And so, you know, I told the guy, I said, listen, I said, I apologize. He goes, you know why I pulled you over? I said, yeah, I was speeding. I said, I apologize. I said, I didn't think I was driving recklessly or dangerously. I was going with the flow of traffic, and everybody was doing that. I'm running a little late. I do a radio show just around the corner here, I'll tell you what, it was the quickest ticket I ever had, because they got these machines now. Boy, they run your license, they spit it out. It's in. Remember, you used to sit there for a half hour when you got a speeding ticket.
Little computer thing.
Checking your records.
Today, this guy was in and out with my ticket printed out and in a receipt in an envelope in less than 4 minutes.
Wow.
It was unbelievable.
First of all, 47 and a 30.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's hard to get out of. That's 17 over. You know, you're probably going to get nailed. And what they don't want to hear, and luckily you didn't do it, smartly you didn't do it, what they don't want to hear is, what about that guy in front of me up there? What about those people? They were doing the same
thing. He said he was going with the flow of the traffic,
but that doesn't work. If the traffic had all been doing 110 and you're going with the flow of the traffic, you're speeding. Just happened to be the unlucky guy that got the ticket.
Ask any cop that you shake hands with, Frank, on a daily basis, will they have greater cause to consider letting you off with a warning if the first words out of your mouth are, I'm sorry, I apologize, I know exactly what I was doing.
And usually, if anything's going to work, that.
Mm-hmm.
It's worked for me a lot of the time. I told you what I do. I exaggerate the speed. If he'd said you were doing 47, I'd have said, I could have sworn I was doing 50. I do. I just go over.
Why?
Because it diffuses everything. There's no argument. It stuns them.
Then he writes you a ticket for 50.
No. Interestingly, that almost always works for me. But because when they say, you have an idea how fast you were going, and if I know I was doing 80, I'll say 83. I think I was doing 83. Now, right there, what they thought they were about to have to go through, they don't have to go through arguing. Now you were, and he says, well, and they'll say, well, no, you're actually doing 80. And I'll just say, I actually thought I might have been doing a little faster than that, and I know I shouldn't have been. And for some reason, that's refreshing to them. I'm not advising everybody to do it, because I guess depending on how you do it, but that has worked for me. I got stopped on a motorcycle. I've had a lot of motorcycles. I got stopped by Creve Coeur Park, the road that kind of wraps around the Creve Coeur Park and the lake, and it was a beautiful day. It was a Sunday, and I was doing, I think the speed limit through there is like 40, and I was doing easily 75.
Wow.
The guy was sitting back behind a building, and man, he pulls out, the county guy, and pulls me over, and the first thing that happened, this is actually a great story. I had a helmet that had hair, a ponytail stitched into it, so it looked like I had a ponytail. The ponytail came out of the back of the helmet. Yeah. And what I had done is I had a ball cap that was just a goof that I ordered on, I don't know where I got it, or found it in a novelty shop, that had a big ponytail coming out of the, so it looked like when I wore the ball cap, I had a big ponytail. It was stitched in the cap. I took it out and stuck it inside the helmet. I don't know why, because it was funny to me that a bald guy is riding along, but if you saw him on the bike, look at that guy with a big ponytail. So when he pulls me over, I pull over and get off the bike. And as he approaches me from the car, I took my helmet off, and my hair came off with it. It's in the helmet. And he bursts out laughing. He starts laughing. And I said, yeah, it's kind of funny, isn't it? And he goes, yeah. He says, look, any idea how fast you were going? I said, 80. He said, do you know what the speed limit is here? I said, 40. He said, well, no, you're doing 75. Why would you do that when you know what the speed limit is? Why? And I said, well, that's exactly what I told him. I said, look at this spectacular day. And it was like a 75-degree, crystal-clear, blue sky, low humidity, beautiful day. I said, look at this day, and look at that motorcycle. I said, I just waxed that thing this morning. It's like glass. And I got out here, and I didn't see anybody up ahead of me, and I couldn't help it. I just had to open this thing up a little bit, because tomorrow I have to leave for 2 weeks for summer camp for the Army Reserve, and I am dreading it, and I just wanted to do something kind of fun before I had to go through that miserable 2 weeks at Fort Sheridan. And this guy says, oh, man, he says, I was in the Army Reserve, too. He said, that is a bummer to break into your summer and have to do that. And we start talking about the Army Reserve. Between laughing at my hair coming off and that and telling the truth, he said, all right, he said, look, I'll let you go. He says, but, you know, slow down, man. And I said, well, I'll try. I said, but I'll tell you something, officer. If next year, this time, right before summer camp, it's a day like today, and I just waxed my bike, and I put my hair on, I'm going to come flying through here again, so you may want to be sitting behind that building again. And he just starts laughing again. And he said, slow down, see, and let me go. So sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Believe me, I've had it not work. I've been pulled over plenty of times. When you have motorcycles, interestingly, and I only got pulled over on a bike like twice, but I think motorcyclists probably get pulled over, I don't know, proportionally more than cars. And you're also going to get pulled over if, like me, through part of your life, and I had a phase where I didn't do 100 miles an hour. I wasn't a street racer, but I like to just push it a little bit. You know, if speed limit was 65, and a lot of people doing 73. I'm doing 78. So, you know, just enough to make them pull me over. And then one last thing, and I've said this before, and I know this is sick, and I probably should see a psychiatrist. I kind of get excited when I see those killer lights in my mirror. Man, I love lights. I love those strobe, you know, light bars on top of the car. I like it even better if they've got those strobing lights in the rearview mirrors and the grill. You know, those cars, you've seen them pulled over the highway patrol. Man, they're lit up. I love that. And when I see it in the mirror, it's a combination of fear and excitement. I know it doesn't make a lot of sense, but that's what it does. And then as soon as I'm stopped and I see him getting out of the car, I start thinking, I know I've got about 20 seconds to come up with whatever this is I'm going to say. And it's a challenge. Can I do or say just the right thing to get out of this? And I'm happy to say about 80% of the time the answer is yes. So I haven't been stopped in a while either. I'm starting to get worried. Maybe I'm not doing something right. I haven't been stopped for, I guess I haven't been pulled over for probably a couple of years now.
I've been stopped, I think, twice in my entire time of driving over here. And the second time I got out of it real easy because it was a female cop. And it was, I mean, just the second
what did
she
show
heard,
her?
Nothing. The second she heard my voice, the smile on her face was just huge.
Ah, the accent. Maybe we should all learn that accent.
I'm telling you, it has its perks. I was coming around the corner and I was a little bit too close to somebody. And she, like, you know, got behind me, lights on, pulled over, and was like, you know, do you know why I pulled you over? I was like, was I a little bit too close, you know, speeding? She's like, yeah, you know, kind of hold back a bit. I was like, I apologize, officer. And then she heard me say a word with an R in it and just, ooh, like, this big smile. And she was like, oh, you have a great day. Like, you know, just be safe out there.
You should
have
said, you're lucky I'm driving on the right side of the road.
I know I told this a long time ago. I've only gotten stopped that I can remember by a female cop. I honestly think once, and it was in Maryland Heights. I was like three blocks from getting to work, and she pulls me over. And by the way, I didn't get out of this one. And I'll tell you what I said to her. She was really cute.
She comes up
the car and she let me see her eyes. I said, okay. And then while she's looking at that stuff, I said, will it help me at all if I say something that's the truth? She said, like, what? And I said, you are really good looking. She said, no, that's nothing.
That's not going to help you at all.
I said, well, you are. I know you're going to go ahead and give me the ticket, but I'd like to say it again. You are really good looking. And I think it actually made her mad. I don't think she needed to hear that.
Probably not.
But she was, by the way. I didn't just say it. Because if you say it to an ugly female, they know you're lying. Because they know they're not attractive. If they're not, boy, she was. She was I almost wanted to say, just let that hair down for me just for a second.
Oh, man.
Take that hair down. Because they always, you know, they have it up in the back because they're more professional looking. And all I could do was wonder, boy, what does she look like with her hair down? Sexist? You bet it is. But
you remember the trip my daughter went on with us when we went to Cancun. We took all of our listeners and everything, and we went to Cancun, and it was an early morning flight. The flight was, what, at like 6 in the morning or something?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, a lot of those were, trips.
And I had played in a band that night before. I did a band job, so I went.
A band job?
I know. I went over.
Sounds like something Robert Kraft would get arrested for.
Did it have a happy ending?
No. Well, yeah. I went to pick my daughter up, went to pick Alyssa up, and we were going to head to the airport and get there by 4 in the morning. And she's like, I want to drive, because she hates it when I drive, because I drive slow. Well, first
you can't see.
Yeah. So, and I was really, really tired anyway. So, anyway. She's driving. And did I say anyway?
Oh, no.
No,
the wrong use.
Wrong use. You said I was tired anyway.
Yeah.
Oh,
different than saying, anyway.
Okay.
That was my fault.
So she's driving, and I picked her up off a Telegraph, so we're driving all the way down to the airport, down 270. And she gets on Telegraph and starts, and this is like 3:30 in the morning. I said, you better slow down. I said, we're like one of the only cars on the road. If there's a cop around, there's no one else that they're going to see flying by, and they're going to pull you over. So she slows down, and then we get on 270, and we're cruising to the airport. All of a sudden, we get around Olive, and it was a Creve Corps cop, and she's looking in the mirror, and she says, what is that cop doing behind us? I'm like, what? She goes, boy. They have their lights on, but they're not going around me.
Oh,
and I'm like, they're pulling you over.
That means right now you're evading is what you're doing by continuing to drive.
This is very first time that she had ever been pulled over. So she pulls over. I said, pull over all the way over. We're like in between Olive and Page. Pulls over. onto the shoulder. It's a female officer. She comes walking up to my side, and I'm in the passenger seat. We roll the window down. And
now, that's weird.
I know. I don't know why. I don't know why that happened. But she came over to my side, and she says, do you have any idea why I pulled you over? And my daughter goes, I was speeding, like that. And she says, yes. And she said, do you know how fast you were going? And Alyssa goes, no. And she goes, you were doing, what, 70, 78 or something? And I turned around and looked at Alyssa, and I went, 78? And the cop starts laughing. And so I told her, I said, this is what we're doing. We're heading to the airport and all this other stuff. And she, and then Alyssa goes, he told me to slow down and go slow because there was hardly any cars. So she starts, and the officer said, all right, here's the deal. Just have a nice trip. Get to the airport, but slow down. So she let us go, which was really nice.
That's when you should have looked at the cop and said, wow, it's good to know that sometimes you pigs do the right thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. I'm kidding. Wow. I'm kidding. You don't. Of course you don't.
I did.
Yeah. Did Alyssa cry?
No. No, she did the next time she got pulled over by herself. She did cry.
I can't remember the first time I got pulled over. I can't remember. You'd think you'd remember the first time you got pulled over. I remember the first day I drove by myself with a driver's license. Like, oh my goodness, I'm driving by myself. I actually have a license. I actually remember that day. I can still, you know, I see the steering wheel and the dash and what kind of day it was, and that a horse ran out in front of me. A horse had got out of a
pen. Sarah Jessica Parker?
My first day driving, this I almost hit a horse. I thought, oh, wouldn't that have been a horrible first day? I do remember the white horse, too. It was almost like a like God sent a sign, like a white horse down from heaven. This will, remember to slow down. Here's a horse to remind you. But I don't remember the first time I was ever pulled over. I don't remember the first wreck. I think everybody remembers your first wreck.
Oh, I remember my first wreck. That was not fun.
I was 17. How old were you?
I was 26.
That's pretty good. You drove since the age of what?
No, I was 27. I've been driving since I was 22. So 5 years, no wreck.
That's not bad, making it 5 years.
I was in my 40s.
They say most teenage drivers, people get their license when they're 16. Few of them make it 18 months.
You get your driver's license so you're 22 years old?
Well, not my American one. I had to get a new one when I moved over here, you know. Doesn't transfer, so.
Okay, but you didn't have, when you were 16, where were you?
Oh, I was in England.
Did you have a license?
I had a learner's, 16, but I had a learner's license for a moped, because I had a moped over there. I was just a teenager.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Didn't really need a car over there, plenty of transportation.
First wreck. You know, there are people that have never been stopped. I mean, like older people. Never been stopped. Never had a ticket and never had a wreck. My father-in-law, I think, in his life had one ticket and one minor fender bender till he passed away. It was unbelievable. He had a great driving record. They're out there. And it's hard to do because it's not just about you being a good driver. Somebody else could hit you. You could be in a wreck. It wasn't even your fault. So to not be in a wreck at all, pretty good and pretty unusual. And Dan, long ago, you were supposed to have somebody on the phone for us.
I put something on the screen.
Oh, shoot. Hang on. Let me look at my I got to pull my screen up here. Ah, there it is. It says, Johnny Londoff would like for me to do the honors today. Well, it'll be my pleasure. I'll do it right now. Speaking of cars, a Chevy was the first and only new car we ever had when I grew up. And my dad drove that car. And it was a basic, bare bones. Back when people bought cars and actually ordered cars, you could order a car and tell the dealer, I want the least on it that they put on a car. A heater, and that's it. And that's exactly what we had. But it was still new. And he drove that car, I want to say, for like 15, 20 years. Boy, that was a great. It was a 62 Chevy Bel Air, white. And I remember the dealer, the name, the town the dealer was in, where it was sitting when we pulled up, and my brother and my dad and I went to get it, and we pulled up in his 53 Ford to get a brand new 62 Chevy. But I remember that it was never as much fun for my dad as it should have been. It should have been a thrill every day. But what kept it from being exciting was the price of the car. $2,500. And that's after $800 for his trade-in. And he agonized over that. He couldn't even get a loan. He almost didn't get the car. And then a local banker in our little hick town who happened to know my dad and knew him well enough. This was back in the day when, you know, you could go into a bank and the president of the bank says, well, I know you and I know your family and I know your brother. Yeah, we'll loan you the money and a handshake. And that's exactly what happened. So he loaned him the money to buy the car. But I remember on more than one occasion my dad just saying things like, maybe this was a mistake, and, you know, I look at this payment. The payment was like $20, I might put something. But man, oh man, to me, to have a car. See, that's the way, though, it should be, and that's the way it is at Johnny Landoff. At Johnny Landoff, in many ways, it's like going back to that 1962 Chevy. I've been there. I've been there and watched when people came and got the keys and shook the hand of the salesperson or came out of the finance office, and they were laughing and happy and all they pile in the car. Who's going to drive it? That's the way it ought to be. It ought to be a thrill to get a new car. Even if your new car is a pre-owned car, it should still be a thrill. And we had certainly a few of those when I grew up. We got lucky. There was a school teacher who had bought a 66 Impala. And he couldn't afford the payments on a school teacher's salary. So he had to sell it. And it was only maybe a year old. So we were able to get that at a really good deal. But my dad agonized about that, too. And that's the one I wrecked when I was 17. That's the nicest car I ever owned. And then I, you know, crunch it up in a car wreck. So cars, my whole life, chronologically, I can tell you everything about my life. And the basis for my memory of it is what car I had. I know what car I had when I got married. The first car I had, I know the last car I've bought. I know most of the cars in between. There are too many to remember every one of them, but I can associate them all with something. And you should be able to do that, too. And the day that you drive away from Johnny Landoff in your new car, even if your new car is a pre-owned car, it ought to be a great day. And you need to drive away from there knowing not only did you get exactly what you wanted, you got the deal that you wanted and maybe wouldn't have gotten anywhere else, and that they worked their butts off to get you financing for it. And sometimes that's not easy to do because they want to share this exciting day with you. And you can tell they still to this day get a big kick out of it. Even if the salesperson has been there for years and years and years, they get a big charge out of watching somebody get the car that they've wanted or needed for a long, long time. And now they finally get it. That's Johnny Landoff. That's what it's like to shop for a car there. And that's all we're asking, is that you shop there. If you do that, we're pretty sure we know where you're going to get your car. Johnny Landoff Chevrolet, the Washington Elizabeth exit off Interstate 270, 24/7 at Landoff.com.
All right, let's get a check on traffic right now with Tori Lyon.
Traffic is sponsored by Discover. The right lane is down westbound 64 on the Poplar Street Bridge. That's stacking up traffic. More slow going westbound 64 past Kings Highway. Heavy traffic westbound 44 at Arsenal. Look for volume eastbound 270 through Lindbergh. Accident reported southbound 270 at Tesson Ferry. And a crash eastbound Gravoy at Mauer Industrial. Discover alerts you if they find your social security number on any one of thousands of risky websites. It's just another way they look after you, not just your account. It's free for card members. Just sign up online at discover.com/free alerts. Limitations apply. I'm Tori Lyons reporting for 590 The Fan. Now back to the Large Morning Show in the afternoon.
Do you have big dreams, big plans? Well, you'll need a small rate. Royal Banks of Missouri can help build your future. Royal's home equity rates are at a historical low. And for a limited time, Royal Banks is offering one of the area's best home equity lines of credit. Call 314-212-1500 to talk to a representative today. Royal Banks of Missouri, investing in St. Louis for over 50 years. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
For all of your eye care needs, see Dr. Michael Jones at Quantum Vision Centers, 1-866-260-EYES. Dr. Jones is a longtime friend of the press box and practices complete eye care in the metro area. From routine eye exams to LASIK and custom cataract surgery, Dr. Jones can get it done for you. He is board certified in ophthalmology and assistant professor at St. Louis University. He sees patients at several locations in the St. Louis area. 1-866-260-EYES, and when you call in, tell them Frank Cusimano sent you.
That didn't even sound like Frank Cusimano.
I don't think that was... No, that wasn't Frank Cusimano. That was Brian. Like, he works here.
Okay. All right. I just don't... You don't often hear somebody say a... it'd be like me, like I've said, hey, tell them Dan Strauss sent you. So that was kind of interesting. So, remember, we're not far from Scott Sherman. He is here. He is in the building. He is finished in the green room. He will be here to help you. He's an attorney. And, you know, don't be lazy. Don't wait until you think, well, I'll wait. It'll be easier to get in. No, it's harder to get in if you wait. 314-821-0590 or 855-282-8255 for Scott Sherman right after the news. I saw a really good movie last night that was just released on Netflix. And I know, not everybody has Netflix. Well, I don't have Netflix. I get that. We also talk about movies in theaters. Not everybody goes to the movie theater. I know a lot of people, they don't go for like 3 years. They won't go to a movie. But there are a lot of people that do and are interested. So a little later on, I'll tell you what I saw. And it starred a guy that... I just don't like. I've told you before, Ben Affleck, the guy with one facial expression, and he's in it. And I think he was the weakest part of it, but it was still a really good movie. That's all I will tell you. I'll also tell you this: the joke today is at the request of Larry Connors. I talked to Larry this morning, and Larry said, "You know a joke that you haven't told for a while," and he starts laughing just thinking about it. And when he told me what it was, he's right. I haven't told it for 2, maybe 3 years. And it's a great joke. And sometimes, because these things are just rolling around in my head, some of them roll way back and don't roll back around to the front for a while. So it's in there, and I would have gotten to it, but I'm going to get to it today for Larry Connors. So, Larry, the joke will be dedicated to you. Larry Connors, who, by the way, is on the air on this station from 9 to 11 p.m. Should be on earlier. Should be on in the middle of the day, but I don't run the place. Okay? Larry Connors. Put a lot of work into that show, so if you're up, you're about, Monday through Friday, 9 to 11, Larry Connors. First Community Credit Union. We are less than 48 hours away from the yard sale. The yard sale is on 7 to 9 o'clock Saturday morning. I think you will really enjoy it if you've never heard it. And you go, well, I'm not interested in buying anything. It's not really just about that. It is about selling and it is about buying, but it's also about, it's entertaining. It's entertaining to listen to people as they sell things. Things they don't need anymore. Things that are still perfectly usable, and that there are people out there who are looking for these things. Then you also have these two hosts, these fantastic co-hosts, Dan Strauss and Scott Sherman, every Saturday morning. Again, 7 to 9 o'clock right here on 590 The Fan. The reason I mention it is one sponsor and only one. Not a lot of interruptions, and that's First Community Credit Union. Yes, that place. The great place to bank. Over 40 locations. Largest credit union in the St. Louis area. I do all of my banking there. If I were in court, stack of Bibles, under oath, and hooked to a polygraph, and they said, do you bank anywhere else? You're under oath. I go, no. All my banking is done at First Community Credit Union. Has been for years. It's a great place to bank. So unless you have some, you know, reason that you, and a good reason to stay where you're banking now, and you probably don't, please consider becoming a member of this fantastic banking facility, First Community Credit Union. You can find out more at firstcommunity.com. That music means we're rolling right up to news time. In fact, we're there. So let's do that. We come back. Scott Sherman will be with us, attorney at law. It's 4 o'clock at 590 The Fan.
This is 590 The Fan, KFNS Wood River, St. Louis, and 590thefan.com, the home of Budweiser.
NBC News Radio, I'm John Jeffries. A report says the Marine Corps commandant is warning that deployments to the southwest border and budget transfers under President Trump's emergency declaration poses an unacceptable risk. The LA Times obtained internal memos that show Marine Corps General Robert Neller told the Pentagon that the president's shifting of resources to the border posed unacceptable risk to Marine Corps combat readiness and solvency. He says border security has forced him to cancel or reduce planned military training in at least five countries and delay urgent